We're back on Veterans Radio, and we're talking with Rick Briggs, who is the manager of the Veterans Programs for the Brain Injury Association of Michigan. And we've kind of gone through a list of what some of the symptoms are if you do suffer from a TBI. And we're looking at some of the solutions, and we kind of tried to narrow that down. So, Rick, let's kind of go forward. Once we've narrowed down what the symptoms are, then what happens?
Well, the most important thing is to get in with a specialist, and there's not a lot of these specialized organizations around the country. Unfortunately, it was not, I guess the way to look at it is brain injury field is really, you know, fairly new. We have 13 states in the country that don't have a single CARF-accredited TBI rehab facility in them.
Wow.
A lot of states have one and two. California has the second most. They actually have 5 facilities, and Michigan has 55 facilities. Because of our no-fault auto here, it's grown a lot. And, of course, automobiles are a big contributor to brain injury. But the most important thing is to get a hold of somebody. You can actually go on the BIAA, Brain Injury Association of America website, and find out where the nearest facility is. Going through the VA and getting screened for TBI is a critical step. The screening process cracked up to really detect some of the more subtle aspects of the brain injury, the mild. So you need to, you know, you need to be persistent. If the symptoms are there and you're not getting rehab, then you know you need to contact somebody at your particular state affiliate of the Brain Injury Association, and they can help you walk right through the system and make sure you're getting to the right people.
Do you have any idea as to numbers of how many returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan are suffering from TBI?
Well, there's been two different reports that came out. The RAND study came out a couple of years ago, and then the DOD did a follow-up, and the two numbers are really fairly close together. You're talking over 300,000. The RAND report was at 320,000. And, you know, obviously most of those, the vast majority of them, are the mild TBI. The severe TBIs are, you know, they're very, very visible, you know, to an amateur. They're getting a ton of attention. But the guys that are coming back, they're staying with the units, they're finishing their tours, they're coming back home. They feel a little different. They're not sure the hows and whys and so on. Those are the main focus of making sure that they get rehabilitated and so on. Because if you get the rehabilitation down, the treatment, you can get back to work and get, you know, retain your security clearance and keep your job and so on. And that is the main goal of the military, is to keep that combat-ready asset, you know, fully capable. They don't want somebody walking around that's injured and going to put themselves, their team, or the mission at risk of reduced capacities.
Yeah, you had mentioned that I know that you've been working with a lot of Iraq-Afghanistan veterans, and that you had one example that I was hoping we would be able to talk to today that's up in Traverse City, Michigan. Could you tell me a little bit about his experience?
Yeah, that sergeant was standing guard out front of a Iraq station. A truck pulled in and self-detonated a VBID, vehicle-borne, had over 2,000 pounds of explosives on board, killed over 110, 116 Iraq citizens. Americans were killed in the blast, but he's a perfect example of a TBI. Even though he's only 40 meters away, he was blown back through a steel door. He stood up. I mean, the walls were blown down at the police station, and it complex attack where over 100 insurgents tried to overrun their position after the big blast. But engaged in the firefight, went on for, I don't know, 3.5-4 hours. Again, no Americans killed. Insurgents did not have a good day. But he went through all of that. He kind of stood up. They took him to the med center because he wasn't feeling right, and he literally collapsed at the med center because he was on an adrenaline. And he sustained a couple vertebrae, both knees, his hand, some facial injuries, and a brain injury. And a lot goes to the protective equipment these young men and women are wearing.
Right.
He was out the front of the gate, and how he's alive is amazing. And he's doing very well right now. This is a perfect example of rehabilitation at its best, and learning compensatory skills. He's got a 4.0 going in college right now. Now, he has to work harder. He has to take better notes. He uses more technology as an asset with iPods and computers and research-type things. But, he told me, Rick, I was never a 4.0 student before this, but I've learned,
We're losing you again on your cell phone. We're going to give you a call right back and see if we can get reconnected. So we'll ask you to, we're going to disconnect and then we'll give you a call right back. Thank you. And we're talking with Rick Briggs, who is the manager of the Veterans Programs for the Brain Injury Association of Michigan. And we're trying to reconnect with him. We're talking with him on cell phone, but he's telling us about a young man in from Traverse City, Michigan, who was actually blown through the air. A 2,000-pound truck bomb went off in Iraq, killed 116 Iraqi citizens, did not kill any Americans somehow. He injured his knees, back, everything along those lines, and really just kind of knocked him unconscious. And how he has been able to recover and is now in school, doing better than he did before. If you have any questions that you'd like to ask Rick or myself, we've got all kinds of information here on traumatic brain injury. Our number is 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. I find it amazing that there are people out there that are doing these great projects to help our veterans, and sometimes it takes a civilian market to do it. And I think we've got Rick back on the line here. Hi, Rick. We got you back?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right.
We'll
fact, the VA has put out a memorandum saying that the neurological rehabilitation is supposed to be outsourced to the private sector, because that's where the preponderance of certified brain injury experts are. They're just far better equipped. There's few assets,
mm-hmm.
and they're scattered around, but the civilian sector, working together with the VA can really get these young men and women, exactly what they need. So they need to contact the VA, and they must register when they get back.
Right, yeah. We just got an email blast that all veterans out there need to register. You're not going to get into the system unless you register.
That's right. That's the most important first step. Everybody that contacts us with issues or anything, that's the first question I ask them.
And we were talking about this last week. So if you know of somebody out there who you think or who has already admitted that maybe they did get caught up in a traumatic brain injury, that they need to contact their VSO or the VA and get started on the claim part of it, and also to get the treatment. And you mentioned in Michigan we've got, 55 centers that can help out?
Right.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, 18% of the nation's total assets are in Michigan. So there's no reason anybody up here is not getting their care, that's for sure.
Okay, you were talking about was it a sergeant from a Traverse City?
Right.
And how he has kind of turned his life around as a result of his injury.
Right, he's actually, and I apologize for the signal there, but he's actually getting better grades now than he ever has, because he's learned skills using technology, note-taking, paying attention. He has to read things sometimes 2 and 3 times to retain it. But in the old days, he was a smart young man, and life kind of came easy for him,
mm-hmm.
so he didn't really have to work at it. Now he has to, and he says, he admits he has to work harder, but he's getting better grades now than he did before the injury.
I don't know if that was the injury or being in the service sometimes. I think a lot of us found out that when we came back, we learned, hey, you go to class and do the homework. It's so much easier.
Yeah, maturing process, too.
It is.
And one thing I do want to throw out, and this
sure.
is to the spouses and family members and neighbors out there, keep an eye on the young men and women that come back from Iraq, because 80% of the time we hear about somebody, it's a friend, neighbor, and most of the time it's the spouse that just says they've changed, they're not asking for help, and they're either going to go get help or I'm leaving or,
mm-hmm.
Whatever, the other foot falling there. But It's real important, and the thing about spouses specifically, and mom and dad, is they know the troop better, that what we call a baseline reference. how they were before deployment versus post deployment. Now there are some issues, you know, so you got adrenaline, mass production, hypervigilance, and some other things that it could be post-traumatic stress disorder, and you could have both a TBI and PTSD, which really complicates it. But the family member closest to that individual is the one that really detects the more subtle things that are going on in their life.
Right. Yeah. And we know if we go back and we look at some of the symptoms that PTSD is a side effect of a traumatic brain injury. And we're going to be taking another break here in a second. We're talking with Rick Briggs, who's the manager for veterans programs for the Brain Injury Association of Michigan. We'd like you to give us a call if you've got a question out there or if you just want to make a comment. 877-573-7825. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.